horse with its feet of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty high-o silver. The Lone Ranger. Indian companion Tonto, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains, led the fight for law and order in the early western United States. Nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Silver. The Lone Ranger rides again.
Come on, Silver! Let's go, Tonto! Hail Silver!
Dan Reed, teenage nephew of the Lone Ranger, returned from a trip to the nearby town of Rock Point and pulled to a stop hurriedly at the camp he shared in the hills with the Lone Ranger and Tonto.
Oh, Victor, hold my help. Oh, stay on.
Nothing wrong, Dan?
You're right. Victor plenty fast. Him all leather, Dan.
I saw the white mask outlaw. He and his men held up the bank in Rock Point.
Are you sure it was the white mask outlaw?
Yes, sir.
Well, him, killer, we come here to find.
I had a close look at him.
Tell us what happened.
When I arrived in town, I left Victor at the hitch rack. That's just beside the watering trough outside the bank.
Go on.
I went across the street to the store. When I came out, I went back to where Victor was waiting.
Yes?
I was putting the packages into my saddlebag when it happened. Easy, Victor. Steady, boy. Steady. That doesn't hold all right. No. I'm running from the bank. I'll hide beside the watering trough. Oh, golly, they're coming right this way.
Get your boots in quick, Pat. Oh, this dirty coyote snicked my wrist. Hit Leatherman.
Hey, Leatherman,
bullets were hitting the dirt all around me. I was afraid I'd be shot.
Then you might have been killed.
Isn't that right?
The watering trough protected me. Luckily, they didn't hit Victor.
Yes, it is lucky.
The leader of the crooks, the man who wears the white mask, almost stepped on my hand as he mounted.
Oh?
I had a close look at him, too. I even saw the streak where the bullet grazed his right wrist.
Did you tell the sheriff about the bullet mark?
Yes, sir. When I crawled out from alongside the watering trough, the sheriff ran over to see if I'd been hurt. I told him what I saw, and he and a posse left town to trail the crooks.
I see. Otto, go toward town and try to pick up the trail of those crooks. Dan, you stay here in camp until we return. Well, let's get the horses, Otto.
The white mask outlaw, known to his men as Mel, rode with his followers to the Pecos River. There they separated and rode off in pairs. Meanwhile, Dan Reed waited till after sundown for the Lone Ranger and Tonto to return to camp. Finally, the boy rolled into his blanket and lay down to rest. A full moon had risen, and its bright light made everything plainly discernible for some distance. Dan dozed a while. Then he was suddenly startled by a warning whinny from his horse, Victor.
Victor seems to be getting a warning. What is it, Victor?
When he As young Lasker approached, Victor raised his magnificent head, holding it high. Then he stood motionless, gazing expectantly up trail. Dan realized Victor was warning him. The boy listened intently for a moment. Then he faintly heard the beat of approaching hoofs. Dan couldn't see the approaching riders, but he knew they were not the Lone Ranger and Tonto, who had gone down trail. Dan acted quickly.
Come along, Victor.
Leading Victor, the boy moved to where his blanket was lying. Then, picking it up, he went on with his horse into a narrow gully, the edges of which were lined with thick brush.
Oh, Victor, hold on. Whoever passes by can't see us down here. We'll be able to watch them. Be quiet, fella.
Hey, look, Dale. Like somebody might have been camping along here.
Yeah, sure, that's pushy. Oh,
what are we stopping for?
My wrist is hurt again. Somebody was using this place for a camp,
Jack.
There must be water
nearby. Yeah, easy. That's right. Hey, you know, ma'am, whoever was here hasn't been going long either. The embers of this campfire are still growing.
Look yonder, does that mean to? Covered blankets and stuff. That means there ain't anything back here, Bushy. Let's find the water and clean this wound of my wrist. You keep your eyes peeled while I'm doing it.
Nobody'd know you without the white mask on, Mel. Hey, the small stream over to the left. Come on.
Yeah.
Golly, they must be two of the crooks.
That means better. Let's get back to the horses.
How about taking those blankets and supplies with us, Mel? We can use them.
Forget it. Are you letting folks know we stopped here? You ought to know better than that. Let's be on our way.
As the two gunmen moved toward their horses, Dan's horse Victor shifted position uneasily, and his hoof came down upon a dry twig with a loud snap.
Easy, Victor.
Hey, Mel, you hear that?
Hear what?
I heard a noise like somebody stepping on a dry branch or something. Came back yonder.
Maybe somebody's in that gully that way.
We're pointing our guns that way. Anybody's in that gully, you better come out and quick.
I'll just keep quiet.
Come on, Mel. Let's walk back there and have a look.
Quiet, Victor.
Hey, Mel. There is someone in that gully. Duck for cover and start throwing bullets.
No, wait. Don't shoot her. I haven't a gun.
Sounds like a youngster. You there. Why not tell you with your hands raised? Come on.
I'm coming out. Come on.
Realizing that he had no chance of escape in the face of possible bullets from the two crooks' guns, Dan Reed decided to face them and try to talk his way out of trouble. Leading Victor, he climbed the low bank and walked toward the gunman.
Oh, Victor, say.
Hey, Jiminy, it's a boy. What were you doing down in that gully, youngster?
Well, I was camping here with two friends. They rode toward town, but I was tired, so I rolled into my blanket. And I heard your hoofbeats coming down the trail and turning in here. I thought I'd better hide.
What were you scared of? How'd you know it wasn't those friends of yours coming back?
Well, they rode the other way. Of course, now that I've talked to you, I'm sure I have nothing to be afraid of.
Yeah? What makes you think so?
Well, you didn't try to steal anything from our camp.
You were watching plenty close, weren't you, buddy?
The moon is very bright tonight, and I could see plainly.
And since you were right there watching from the gully, you must have been able to hear plainly, too, huh?
Hey, Mel, if this youngster did hear what we said and told...
Just what did you hear, Button? Come on, speak up.
I didn't pay much attention, and you really didn't talk much.
I asked you what you heard. You gonna tell me the truth, or do I have to beat it out of you? Speak up before I lose my temper.
You're hurting me. Let go. If I were older, you wouldn't do that.
Tell us what you heard. Go on.
You said you wanted to clean your wounded wrist.
What else did you hear?
He said to take blankets and supplies, but you told him to forget it.
Now, look, Mel, if he heard that much, he heard what was said about nobody knowing you without the white mask.
You heard that too, didn't you, Button?
Yes, but... It doesn't mean anything to me.
Maybe the boy's all right, Bushy.
Yeah, and maybe he isn't, Mel. Look at that horse. I remember seeing it hitched right outside the bank today, just before things began to happen. This Button is playing dumb, that's all.
By thunder, I remember seeing that horse in town too, Bushy. That means this youngster was there at the time. In that case, he must have saw us leaving. Come on, speak up. Did you see what happened in town today? Answer me!
You bully!
He saw it all right.
Then you must have known we were connected with it when Bushy mentioned the white mask, didn't you?
No. Why should I?
You were bigger, we'd plug you. Reckon you figured on spreading the news we stopped here as soon as we were out of sight.
The boy's wise to us. There's no doubt of that.
We ought to shoot him right now, Mel.
Brother, no use being hasty, Bushy. We'll take him along with us and decide what to do with him after we reach our hideout camp. Get on your horse, Button, or I might change my mind and put slugs in both you and that horse of yours. Go on, hit leather. Be quick about it.
All right. I have the bridle, Mel. Let's get to our horses.
Remember, youngster, I'm holding this gun on you, so don't try to get away.
Scubby, easy now.
Now, start down the trail.
Come on,
get it back.
Get it, get it.
About an hour after Dan had left with the two crooks, the Lone Ranger and Tonto returned to the camp.
Easy, fella. Dan isn't here, and Victor's gone.
Someone scatter campfire. Look, Kimasabi. You see footprint. Moon, plenty bright.
That's a man's footprint. Yes, and there's another.
Footprints go to gully back yonder.
Yes. Hello. Here's Dan's blanket.
Dan may be hide here from someone. After, hoof marks and footprints go back up bank. We go look.
Come on. They stood here, Toto.
Look. Look like Dan struggled here. In skip.
Yes, look.
Up on ground. Wait, we find something here.
What is it?
It's a mask.
Yes, a white mask.
Ah.
The crook who wears a white mask must have been here with one of his men.
And then take Dan.
We'll take up their trail right now, Toto. We must find Dan before they harm him. Let's go.
Easy, Scotty.
Come on, still there.
The gunmen, Mel and Bushy, took Dan Reed several miles from the campsite of the Lone Ranger. They turned off the trail and covered their hoof marks in the stream for some distance. Then, leaving the water where the bank was hard and rocky, they headed for a small farmhouse.
Come on, get up there.
Come on,
get
up. After riding for several minutes...
Well, Bushy, there's our hideout.
Yeah, I reckon the others are there by now. Golly, the sheriff wouldn't think of looking there for a gang of crooks.
That's your general idea, Button. We all act as farmhands for the widow Danby. Nobody suspects.
Through there.
Yeah, put the horses in the barn with the others, Bushy. I'll take this youngster inside.
You all right? Come on.
Yeah. All right, come on, you.
Man, you had me downright worried.
Yeah?
The others came home long ago. They're out in the bunkhouse. Say, who's the boy, and why'd you bring him here?
This youngster got wise to us with it, Danby, so we brought him along. We'll tie him up and keep him here until we find out all about him.
You and Bushy are a couple of fools.
Yep.
This boy'll be both a nuisance and a danger to all of us. He must have friends who'll be looking for him.
I'll have one of our men go to town and find out if anyone's asking about the boy. Meantime, we'll try to get more information from him. We'll be leaving here in a few days anyway, and then we'll get rid of the Button.
I don't like having him around, Mel. It's risky.
Well, it's either that or do away with him right now. That's for you to decide. So which is it to do?
The curtain falls on the first act of our Lone Ranger adventure. Before the next exciting scenes, please permit us to pause for just a few moments. To continue. The old woman stood a moment staring at Dan Reed. Then she spoke.
I don't like having him around, but it goes against the grain to have to kill a youngster.
Here comes one.
This must be the boy Bushy told me about when he brought the horses to the barn.
That's right.
What's your name, son?
My name is Dan Reed.
Dan, huh? Tell us what you know about all this. How did you find out about Mel and Bushy? Who else knows?
I can't tell you anything, ma'am. They forced me to come here with them, that's all.
No use bothering with a button now. Warren, take him out to the barn, tie him up. We'll get plenty of information out of him later.
Yeah, take him, Warren, and make sure you bind him tightly. He mustn't get away from here.
He will not get away. I shall see to that.
Good. Get him out of here now. The others will be turning in soon to get some sleep.
See, I'll tie him tight and put him on some straw out in the barn. Come along, my friend.
Meantime, the Lone Ranger and Tonto followed the trail of the two crooks who had taken Dan with them. Though the moon shone brightly, it was slow work. And when they finally reached the point where the hoof marks entered the stream, the two men drew rein.
Who's it? Who's it?
Oh, fella.
They entered the stream here to cover their trail, Tonto.
Ah. It not good, Dan, with killers like them.
Tonto, they harm Dan, I'll never stop them.
Now, quick. Easy, fella. Shots come from over rise, just ahead.
Yes. We'll lead the horses back into that thick grove. The trees will give us some protection. Come, Silver. Come, boy.
Come, fella.
Close over. Close. Steady now, huh? The shadows hide us from them now. The crooks might have doubled back and waited in ambush in case they were followed. Stay here, Tonto.
See anyone?
No. They're in shadows, too, so I can't.
Come on in there with your hands up. I have a posse with me in the neck anyhow.
The sheriff and the posse.
That's not good.
They'll not return their fire, Tonto. We can't let them capture us.
That's right.
If you aren't coming out, we're coming at you right now.
Quick, let's mount. We're right to the trees and try to lose them easy. Steady,
fella. Easy, fella.
Get them
out. Come.
After leaving the grove, the masked man and Indian rode at top speed for some time to outdistance their followers. Then, after using various means to cover their tracks, they came to a halt.
Evidently, the sheriff and the posse were ready to shoot first and ask questions afterwards, Tonto.
Good it not daytime. Them think maybe we belong to gang of crooks who robbed bank at Rock Point. It's not easy to explain to Sheriff.
No, not when I'm wearing this mask.
They'll not follow us now.
I'm sure we've lost them. We've also lost valuable time in our search for Dan. They go back to that stream and try to pick up the trail again.
Not good idea.
Monsieur, get him up. Come.
During the rest of the night, the Lone Ranger and Tonto searched along the riverbank for some sign of the crooks and Dan Reed, but were not able to pick up the trail again. Worried and discouraged, the masked man called a halt, taking time out to camp along the water's edge to rest the horses. Meanwhile, Dan Reed, tied hand and foot in the barn at the hideout, had passed a sleepless night. At dawn, Juan brought a small amount of food and untied Dan's bonds. After eating, Dan was forced to help groom and saddle the horses.
You've done well. Only once have I had to slap you so far.
I've done it only because I'm forced to.
But I warn you, watch your tongue so I do not lose my temper. Now I must tie you again.
You're a bully, too. If I were bigger, I'd knock your block off.
There. Perhaps the widow Danby will bring you some lunch and feed it to you.
She's as bad as the rest of you.
See, but for such an old senora, she is very smart. Now I take the horses out. Adios.
After Juan left with the horses, locking the barn door behind him, Dan, tightly bound, lay for some time trying to think of a plan to escape. He waited until he heard the crooks ride away from the farm. Dan waited for about 10 minutes. Then he decided to try a plan he'd thought of. He called out to his horse, Victor, who was tied in a stall at the back of the barn.
Victor! Victor, come here! Here, Victor!
Hearing his young master's voice calling, Victor pulled and tugged at the rope that held him. Then the intelligent horse started gnawing at the tie line. Finally, the rope was frayed enough to break, and with a whinny of triumph, Victor came to Dan's side.
Good boy, Victor. Give them. Gnaw these ropes. Get me loose, Victor. Gnaw them.
Dan rolled over and held his bound wrists toward Victor. The horse sniffed a moment, then getting the idea, tried to gnaw the rawhide strips. Over and over, he tried to loosen the knots, but the rawhide became wet and the knots tightened.
It's no use, Victor.
At that moment, Dan had another idea.
Go, Victor. Go back to camp. Get the Lone Ranger. Go, Victor. Kick, Victor. Kick, fella, kick. You did it. Good boy, Victor. Go get the Lone Ranger. Go to the camp.
Inside the farmhouse, the widow Danby and one of the crooks who had stayed behind when the others left went hurriedly to the barn when they heard the racket.
Maybe the boy managed to get away somehow.
Oh, there he is, still tied hand and foot.
Hey, the barn door is smashed. You, Danner, tell us what happened out here.
My horse didn't like being tied in a strange stall. He gnawed his tire line and kicked his way out through the barn door, then he ran away.
Well, since the boy didn't get away, I don't reckon it matters much.
Mel's not gonna like it when he comes back. One should have seen to it that the horse was put into a box stall.
Oh, what's the difference? If he did get away, he'll stop to graze before he gets very far.
Maybe it doesn't make any difference. Mel and the boys will be back soon, then we'll find out what they think. Let's get back to the house. Come on.
Meantime, the Lone Ranger and Tonto again made ready to search for Dan. Before mounting, they stood on the bank of the stream, looking first one way, then the other.
The opposite bank is all shale and rock, Tonto. Beyond that are the foothills. The only buildings for miles are the farmhouse and outbuildings are the little Danby's place back in the hills.
Ah. Hideout of crooks must be on that side stream, Kimasabi.
Yep, we've been up and down stream for some distance without finding the marks where they left the water.
That's right. Maybe if we... Listen, Kimasabi.
What do you hear?
Me hear hoofbeats coming down other side stream.
I don't hear anything. Perhaps you... Yes, I hear them now. Sounds like one horse traveling fast.
Look, it's Victor. Run along stream another side.
Victor! Victor, here! Oh, Victor, over! Oh. Come here, Victor! Come over here!
I can see us. I'm gonna cross stream.
Good boy, Victor. He's heading back toward Camp Tonto.
Him come along the other side. We go over now and backtrack Victor's trail.
Yes, let's hurry. Easy, Silver.
Easy, Scout. Easy, boy.
Get off the town. Come, Victor.
The Lone Ranger and Tonto rode back along the bank of the stream in the direction from which Victor had come. Finally, they found his tracks in the earth beyond the shale and rock. The tracks led into the hills, and the two men could easily follow them. Before long, they came to the top of a ridge and stopped among the trees.
Look down there, Tonto. That's where the widow Danby lives. The barn is between us and the house.
Victor's tracks lead down, back a barn.
We'll leave the horses here among the trees and go down there on foot. We move cautiously and have our guns ready. All right, let's go.
Still following the tracks left by Victor, the masked man and Indian carefully moved down the tree-studded slope behind the barn. A few moments later, they both moved quickly into the barn.
Dan?
Am I glad to see you? Victor did find you.
Isn't that right? Me untie you, Dan.
Are you all right, Dan?
Yes, sir. The crook who wears a white mask and his gang stay here. Old widow Danby is in with them. They work here as their farmhands when they aren't robbing and killing people.
Oh, how many are there?
I counted six men, sir. Five of them rode away this morning. The other one is inside the house with a widow.
Now you're free.
Thanks a lot.
Dan, Victor's in a grove behind the barn. Call up there through the bushes, then ride down over the hill so they'll not see you. Go to town and ask the sheriff to bring his men here. Tell him what you found out.
Yes, sir.
Then what we do?
We'll hide in the hayloft. I think their crooks will come here when they're told about Dan and the horse being gone. Then we'll go into action.
Later, the crooks returned to the house and heard from the widow about Victor's escape. Juan went to the barn to put up the horses. A few moments later, he entered the house excitedly.
Senors, the boy is gone.
How did he get away?
I don't know, but he is gone.
Someone must have untied him. Let's go out and look around. Come on, fellas.
There. See for yourself, senor.
He was here a while ago. I came out with Joe when his horse got away.
That's right, and he was tied up tight.
That means the dirty little sneak is on foot. We'll get our horses spread out and find him. Whoever sees him first, put a bullet in him.
Let's go.
Right.
Reach, who said that?
Look, up in the hayloft. A man stormed by an Indian, and they have guns.
They cover him in. Get him down.
Hold it.
Oh.
I make. He shot me. Gun him. Use your guns, all of you, and get them both.
Better drop your guns and forget what the widow said.
And the sheriff, he has a posse with him.
Don't give up. Fight your way out, man.
Drop your guns or we'll throw that. Drop them.
See, I dropped mine.
We'll come down now.
Look, Sheriff, he's wearing a mask. He and the Indian must be in with him.
I have them both covered.
Wait, Sheriff. Those are the friends I told you about. The ones who sent me to bring you.
That's right, Sheriff.
The tall crook called Mel is the masked killer. The widow works with the gang.
If Mel hadn't been stupid enough to bring that ornery boy here, you'd never have suspected us. Anyway, who does that masked man think he is, running around with his face covered?
It doesn't matter to you, Widow Danby. Now that the white masked killer and his men are caught, our work in this territory is done. We'll leave them in your custody, Sheriff. Come, Dan Trotto. Adios, all.
Goodbye.
Say, are you gonna let that masked hombre just walk out?
Go ahead. Tell me who that masked man is, Sheriff.
Yeah. You see, Widow Danby, that hombre wearing the black mask is on the side of the law. It might surprise you plenty to know that he's the Lone Ranger.
What? The Lone Ranger?
This is a feature of The Lone Ranger Incorporated, created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Enterprises, directed by Charles D. Livingston, and edited by Fran Stryker. The part of The Lone Ranger is played by Brace Beamer.